Some may not be very familiar with the torchbearer operation, so just a brief preamble. It's my privilege to establish some 32 years ago in the northwest of England a Christian conference ground, and it was located at a place called Capenray Hall. Capenray is an awkward name. It's difficult to pronounce. That's why we call it torchbearers. Capenray takes its name from its geographical location. It's a lovely country home in about 170 acres. It's rather like a castle to look at. It was built 175 years ago, though the newest part is about 150 years, so it's reasonably modern. It's likely to outlast many buildings produced in the last 10 years. We've knocked it around pretty adequately. It's still standing. But that's where it all began. Young People's Christian Bible Camp, as you might call it in this country. And we've had over 100,000 young people staying there from all over the world since World War II during those 32 years. It was from there it began to fan out into different parts of the world, first overseas in Germany, and then in Austria, and so it has multiplied. We have two centres now in Germany and two in Austria, and one in Sweden and in Spain and in France on the Atlantic coast near the Spanish border, in Switzerland, and we're incorporated in Holland. The torchbearers are incorporated in the United States, in the state of California, in Sacramento, but recognized federally as a tax-exempt charitable organization with our administrative headquarters in Orlando. And although we are incorporated in California, we operate in Colorado at Ravencrest Chalet, where Mark, as you know, is the director, and here at His Hill in Texas. I arranged, of course, for it to be incorporated in California and have an administrative office in Orlando so that, you know, in bad weather, I'd have to go to California and Florida. And that's very convenient. We have a center in the eastern part of Canada, in Ontario, and in Australia, 80 miles from Sydney, in New South Wales, and the beautiful Southern Highlands, about 30 miles from a city called Wollongong on the coast, beautiful surfing beaches at that part of Australia, which is, as you know, a vast continent, geographically almost the size of the United States, and in New Zealand, in a very beautiful location, on the outskirts of the city of Auckland, on Eastern Beach, on the cliffs with private access to the beach, very beautiful part. And we operate then also out of Fiji for the South Sea Islands, and that is quite exciting too. The operation began as a Bible camp and continues as such, with its main thrust, the countless thousands of young people who participate in the Bible camp program. During the height of the season, we have at least 1,000 young people every week in Bible camps. And as a natural development from the outreach that ministers to these thousands of young people, many of whom are totally unconverted when they arrive, we may have a teenager party in England with about 230 youngsters, 50% who are totally unsaved, and most of them unchurched. And that's where they have that first redemptive encounter with the Lord Jesus. But as they begin to put on spiritual muscle and gain spiritual appetite, so we give them mini Bible schools for 10 days or a week or 2 weeks, stick them behind desks, give them 5 sessions a day, and that gives them a taste for the mini Bible school, the short-term Bible schools, of which you're, those of you who are students here, participating at this time. We have just over 500 students in residence in the torchbearer schools in Europe at the moment. In England, where we have close on 200 in residence, and then in Bodensehof in southern Germany in the English language, where we have close on 100 in residence. In Sweden, at Holsbybrunn, where we have close on 100 in residence in the English language, and then about 70 German-speaking students at Klostermühle. And also this year in Austria, as last year in the fall for 12 weeks, which is a small center. And we have just over 40 students, 45, I believe, in residence there. But they're all full to capacity. We couldn't squeeze another single body into any of them. And we're thankful for that. And in addition, there are Bible schools in session at this time in Australia, in New Zealand, in Ravencrest, and of course here. So that there are over 600 students in residence at this time, between 600 and 650. And then with the changeover of students in the different schools in the short-term program, it means that in the 12-month period, we shall have well over 800 who will have participated, derived from at least 30 different nationalities right around the globe. Africa, India, Japan, probably Taiwan. There are two at least from Malaysia and from the South American countries, from North America. There are about 300 what we call transatlantics in Europe at the moment. The place is crawling with Canadians, about 150 of them, and about as many or a few more from the United States, from most countries of Europe. And we thank God for this delightful opportunity. And that's a sort of broad panoramic view. And there are staff, of course, who are based in the national centers who operate not only in the activities associated with those centers, but nationally, as also internationally, and some who are primarily concerned with an international ministry as field representatives, some of whom, of course, you've met, and others whose names you know. So that's just a brief sort of panoramic view, just a bird's eye view of the operation. We, being incorporated in California, have a statutory annual meeting, which took place last Saturday, where the accounts are presented and approved by a torchbearer meeting of those who are torchbearers in good standing, and I give a brief rundown of the operation worldwide. Now, we've discharged our responsibilities in presenting the accounts, which are carefully audited each year, but at the same time, there are those of you here who have shown deep interest in the operation and who have graciously and lovingly supported us. And so for your information and for your encouragement, I'll give you a very brief rundown of the financial situation, though we don't need to present these in terms of being approved because that has already been done and our obligations have been satisfied. And then, for the sake of brevity, I'll read you a report which represents the sort of annual rundown on the torchbearer operation. It's the quickest way of doing it, though I may pause to comment, perhaps add a little shot here and there, if I think of something that might be of particular interest. Just for your interest financially, our general fund at the moment, that is to say, our total wealth in this country, if everything was paid up or realized at its nominal value, is $565,385. That is the accumulated fund in the Torchbearer Fellowship in the United States. May I say that what I'm giving you now is simply the financial situation that derives from the United States and the transactions that go through our torchbearer accounts, which I present to you now, represent perhaps 15 to 20% of our total overall turnover. In other words, if it costs us, as it does, close on $500,000 to operate in the United States, it means that worldwide we're operating in the sum of, say, $2.5 to $3 million. That's what it costs us to stay in business each year. Our assets amount to $649,476. That is represented in property, facilities, furnishings, notes receivable. And that incidentally includes one of $60,000, towards which I received on Saturday a check for $58,000, with just a little margin of $2,000 to come in the next few months. And that means that we can reinvest that in other facilities. Liabilities amount to $84,090, which must be taken, of course, from the $649,476, and that leaves us with a fund balance of $565,385. And that represents an increase in our fund balance in the period of 12 months of $30,049. In other words, since this time last year, we're $30,049 wealthier in terms of facilities, property, which we're able to use in the furtherance of the gospel. I'm not going to give you the details, because that would be a little tedious for you, but these accounts include the operational expenses here at His Hill, as also at Ravencrest, in addition to our general fund. And you'll recognize that a large number of staff are supported out of the United States, many of them United States citizens and others who are not, and contributions are made to torchbearer centers worldwide, for the disposal of which they are responsible in their annual accounts. So that our total contributions received as gifts throughout the year to torchbearers in the United States only amounted to $296,139. Bible school receipts amount to $89,868, and retreat receipts $60,492, and then there are book and tape receipts, interest income, and other income, so that our total income throughout the year was $474,171. Our total expenditure, which is designated contributions to the Cape Mary Missionary Fellowship in other countries, designated contributions to missionaries, to centers as such for their support and further ministry, $43,043, and for the support of those staff overseas or in this country, $159,832. The balance of the expenditure is represented by the operational costs of the centers here at His Hill and at Ravencrest, and the very minimal cost of administering the whole operation at Orlando at our administrative headquarters. The administrative director, Mr. Alan Travis, is himself a businessman, a CPA, and his service is entirely honorary. We need only to remunerate a secretary who does a very good job, and there are no overhead expenses. We don't have any property, and so we thank God for the minimal expense that is involved in operating the whole operation, not more than probably $5,000, at most $10,000 a year, out of a total expenditure of $500,000. So the total expenditure amounted to $444,121, which means that in the course of the 12 months, we had an excess of revenue over expense of $30,049, and that represents the increase in our general fund. Just for your interest, you may be interested to know that out of the general expenses over the period of 12 months, our general fund, which is for the support of staff, the purchase of facilities, and other general administrative expense, and designated donations to the operational costs of overseas centers, amounted to $236,222, which left us with an excess of receipts over expenditure of $11,121. You'll be happy to know that at His Hill, the total expenditure over the period of 12 months was $124,917, which left us an excess of receipts over expenditure of $7,982. At Ravencrest, our overall operational costs in the 12 months, $82,980, which left us an excess of receipts over expenditure of $10,945. So on every account, the general account, the His Hill account, the Ravencrest account, we were operating with a small excess of expenditure, income over expenditure, which combined to produce the total excess of income over expenditure of $30,049. These are facts that I'm sure you'll be interested in, because it'll provide you solid grounds for saying thank you to the one who so faithfully ministers to our needs and does it so often as His gracious Holy Spirit prompts the hearts of those who are members of Christ's body to be the means that He uses so that He can channel to us the needed material resources that allow us to discharge our responsibilities in which we seek to be good stewards. So that's for your information. As this is a torchbearer conference and it's an annual occasion in which we can put you in that very important part and phase of the operation, the financial, in the picture. But we are thankful to God that He has so graciously met all our needs, plus a little extra, just in case we need it next year, as we will. If God hadn't demonstrated his faithfulness, every single year in the 32 years in which we've been operating, it would be frightening to think that we're going to spend nearly $3 million before this time next year. And you wonder just where those $3 million are going to come from. But the lovely thing is that next year I'll be able to tell you that the $3 million arrived and probably had a little excess, for which we can be profoundly thankful. God is good. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things shall be added unto you. If we take care of his interests, you can be absolutely certain he'll take care of our interests, insofar as our interests are identified with his interests. And that takes the ulcers and the strain out of operations. We simply relax into his goodness. God is good. Just a brief rundown then on the torchbearer operation. It's fitting at the very outset of this report to recognize that in all the good things that have happened during the past 12 months, there's only one person to be congratulated. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we offer our praise and worship. God is good. On the whole base, in every way, this past year has been one of the finest we have ever enjoyed at Capenry, England. Bible schools were full to capacity. Our accommodation throughout the summer was taxed to the utmost with young people who are unusually responsive. I don't think we've ever, ever had as many summer guests as we did this year at Capenry. We were just full, period. Among these many, many received the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and so many others yielded, and so many others yielded more fully to their responsibilities in sharing his life, in fulfilling his purpose. The Queen Pin, Mrs. Thomas, my wife, has assumed responsibility as managing director, while Haldane Rowan is doing a monumental job as business manager. He comes from New Zealand, and he and his wife are doing a fantastic job. Haldane's wife, Thelma, rendered great service to the fellowship in Europe at a moment of real need in her willingness to act as registrar on Bert Burroughs' departure for Austria with his family. Bert Burroughs has been registrar in England for several years, and we register for all the European schools, whether it's in Sweden or Austria or Germany. This registration takes place at our central international headquarters. Assisted by the Capenry team, Charlie Price, in his first full year as conference director, fully justified the confidence placed in him and was greatly appreciated. The demands upon the printing department under the management of Elias Tsura continue to explode, and he has a backlog at the moment on which he's working frantically of some 60,000 books on order. We're capable, with the very excellent equipment that we have now, to produce books from start to finish. They come in stacks of paper and they go out fully bound and ready for delivery. And they're being delivered now literally all over the world. There's another consignment just going off to Australia. We thank God for this. And the farm, which has never looked better, is a very great credit to Don Deering, the farm manager. That's just the home base in England. We have about 180 cattle. And we grow a considerable amount of fodder and stuff like that that cows eat. And sometimes human beings. Tomatoes, as you'd call them over here. They're really tomatoes. And we produce about 125 tons of silage and about, say, 30 tons, 50 tons, 60 tons of hay. Normally we produce about 30 tons of barley. And we feed these beasts and then we sell them on the market. And it's now a viable proposition. And we're thankful for that. You've got the land. Make it work. It's part of the operation. Also, it gives Bible school students something to do on their work day. In addition to the extensive ministry nationally and internationally of those staff members who are centre-based, for instance, Billy Strachan has been in the States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and on the continent of Europe this year, we're constantly encouraged by the worldwide repercussions of the ministry of those who are almost constantly on the road. It would be a sheer impossibility to describe the life-transforming effect that the consistent preaching of the Word of God is having, far beyond our numerical strength on the ground, and constantly multiplied through radio, television, and literature. Continue, please, to pray for Alan Redpath, John Hunter, Ken Needham, Bob Hobson, Charlie Fordham, Charlie Price, Gunter Keener, Bjorn Donabar, George Lazenby, and myself as we itinerate around the world. We're just some of those who spend most of our time itinerating. There are 50 men on our faculty, teaching and preaching staff worldwide, plus their wives, of course, and others in administrative responsibilities. And they're a fantastic team. And as I was telling Johnny Merchant this morning, I give them pretty rough time when I visit the bases, but behind their back I boast about these fellows who have this tremendous responsibility on their shoulders. And I couldn't be traveling around the world as I do if I didn't know that His Hill, Capenray, New Zealand, Australia, Ravencrest, Bodenseehof, Schloss Klaus, Tarnhof went in fantastically able hands. God's been so good to us in giving the type and caliber of staff that He has. It's a sheer joy for me. I just am permanently on vacation. I just pop around, just have a look in, that's all, and do nothing. Except give them something to do. That keeps me busy too. I leave tomorrow for Los Angeles and Japan for an hour or two on my way to Indonesia. And we'll be conducting a seminar starting on Saturday night. I won't be anywhere on Friday because I won't have a Friday. Flying to Southeast Asia, of course, I shall leave on Thursday. Won't have a Friday. I'll arrive the next morning on Saturday, if you can understand what I mean. Because I cross the international date line. If you've never done that, it's quite a quaint experience. You leave on Thursday and arrive on Saturday, and you've only been traveling for less than 24 hours. So by the time I arrive, when it's Friday with you, it'll be Saturday with me, and I'll start a seminar with the Indonesian fellow workers with whom, God willing, we trust in future we shall be operating. And then next week I'll be in Malaysia, the week after I'll be in India, and the week after that I'll be in England, the week after that I'll be in South America, and the week after that I'll be back in Florida, evangelizing among the natives down in that part of the United States. So that for the next 6 weeks I'll be in a different country every week, and that's what I mean by itinerating around the world. It's been my privilege this year twice to go completely around the world, with a lot of side trips thrown in, and this is a fantastic privilege. With the conference chapel now winterized in Sweden, close on 100 students are now being accommodated there, 70 in the German language at Klostermühle, nearly 100 at Bodenseehof, and full house with 45 at Tarnhof in Austria, as also at Ravencrest in Colorado, and one of the largest schools yet at His Hill. In Australia, New Zealand, though the enrollment is less than elsewhere, the quality and potential of those attending is most encouraging, and representative of many parts of those countries. We anticipate that over 800 different students will have participated in the program during the current 12 months. I told you Australia is a vast country. I was there for their summer Bible school in January this year, and there were students, we had about 100 in school, came literally from every part of that vast continent. That means they had to fly a couple of thousand, 2,500 miles to participate in Bible school. And then we just throw them back all over the country. Then take another and throw them back. Bring another and throw them back. And if you believe your message, if you've introduced them to that relationship that lets Jesus Christ as God be God in their lives, you're letting God loose all over the world and all over that country. And that's interesting. You'd be thrilled to bits to see the new building at Klostermühle, which blends magnificently with the older buildings and has added enormously to the whole facility, as also the delightful recreational lounge built above the conference chapel in Sweden, and now in full operation. Beautifully carpeted and finished in natural wood with good facilities for serving refreshments. It's just great. The new building at Bodenseehof, at Klostermühle, I beg your pardon, provides us with a very, very delightful dining facility. We can dine about 150, 160 at a time with beautiful kitchen equipment and cellar and storage arrangements down below. We've got a drive-in delivery area. The van can go down underground and be undercover while everything is unloaded. There's a beautiful floor with some additional student and guest accommodation, accommodating about an extra 32 bodies. And then there's a very lovely apartment for the house parents, and then two mini apartments for single staff. Of course, we can make those together, of course, if anything happens. You know, part of the Capenray service is to introduce young gentlemen to young ladies all over the world. Come single. Like a chew factory, they come single, go away in pairs, you know. And that building, incidentally, Klostermühle, has cost us just about $500,000. And building costs in Europe are simply fantastic. They're right through the ceiling, far more even than this country. But we're thankful for the marvelous way in which God has undertaken in the making of that possible. What a difference it has made to get carpeting done at Bodenseehof, too, as well as the final finishes to the outside of the main building. That building now, the new administrative block, which has the kitchen, another large, beautiful kitchen, and also dining facility and lecture hall and office accommodation and lounges. And the old building, now fully carpeted, has reduced the noise. If any of you have been there, it used to echo rather a lot, but now it really is beautiful. The big problem, Mar Cristalino, that's in Spain, on the Mediterranean coast, I forgot to mention that, is not to get bodies for the buildings, but to get enough buildings for the bodies. Although we have purchased some additional land alongside the present property, it would be marvelous to be able to move into a new location where the situation is not so crowded, and where the immediate locality would be more attractive. It's attractive in the sense that you can just take 8 steps out of the building and you're in the Mediterranean, but there are some nicer spots, and we're looking on the future for something like that. Reimer and Ada do such a fantastic job under very difficult conditions. You see, we can accommodate perhaps 34, 35, 50, 40 in the building, but we always have 100. And when you try to get 100 people into accommodation for 40 or 50, it's difficult. And we have to hire accommodation around. That's not very economical. And the Lord is so blessing. It's marvelous. I feel sure that God has a delightful surprise waiting for us there someday. Gottlieb Royer, who's been assisting for a couple of years or so in Austria, has been appointed youth director in a neighboring Lutheran parish with some lovely opportunities of which he's taking full advantage. But this left Gernot Kunzelmann, who directs there, and maybe he's been here, has he? Short-handed at Townhof for the increasing load there with the additional Bible schools in the fall and a new one in spring for 8 weeks next year and the summer, which is a 6 weeks stress camping program. Some of you might be interested in that. They do the normal Bible school program, but they also do rope rappelling, mountaineering, backpacking, and various other things like that. And, of course, it's a fantastic part of the world to be in. But it left him a little short-handed with this, so to relieve the situation, Bert and Mariana Burrows, with their 2 children, have moved from England to Austria to be there on permanent staff. Bert did a very fine job as registrar at Capenray, serving all the European schools. He came first as a student and remained. And we shall miss them all greatly at home base. Pray that they may quickly adjust, especially the children. They've got to go to school in a new language. Mariana from Germany, of course, is much at home in her native tongue. She's German. She'll not have too much problem, even though she's not in her native land. In addition to his responsibilities at Klostermühle, Bernhard Reipsch continues to have a wide national ministry in Germany as well as elsewhere in other countries. He is the director at Klostermühle, with increasing acceptance and impact. Gunter Kiener, with his family, spent a full year in the States, based in Bailey, Colorado, and gained useful experience in American church life in order that this may be shared with others and believers be encouraged to participate more fully in their own church families in Germany. We're exploring the possibility of acquiring a hotel building in Obernhof in the immediate vicinity of Klostermühle, where Gunter would set up and direct a new training school to that end. It's a Hotel Reusch, which has been there for some years, and we knew the family very well. It's been idle and empty for the last year or two, and we're negotiating at the moment for the possibility of its purchase. And in this case, we'd set up a separate entity, but right alongside our present facility in Klostermühle, but for the further training of adult members of German church congregations so that they can be involved in their church life. And also probably to extend our ministry amongst the confirmation candidates, which is a fantastic opportunity in Germany. Schloss Klaus celebrated its 400th anniversary in its present condition earlier this year. It isn't that it was built 400 years ago. It was built just about 1,100 years ago. And a part of it, which sticks up as a ruin, we've already magnificently, in part, refurbished, but now we've excavated out and we're going to put a roof over the top and turn it into a conference hall. Nice to have a conference hall 1,100 years old, and just with a new roof and a little dusting. And they're working hard on that. But Mrs. Thomas was able to participate in the goings-on in celebrating that 400th anniversary. The whole building, incidentally, has been beautifully redecorated on the outside. The whole facade, of course, is new, and it's been wonderfully refurbished on the inside. Peter and Lutz and their excellent staff continue to do a tremendous work throughout the country with far-reaching effects far beyond our calculations. A whole new generation of young Christians spread widely throughout the country is growing up into spiritual maturity and a deep sense of personal commitment and responsibility. Between Christmas coming and Easter next year, we'll have over 1,400 confirmation candidates sent to us by about 35 Lutheran churches, handed over to our staff so that they can be led to Christ in preparation for their confirmation. It's a fantastic opportunity. It's incredible things that are happening in that country. The bishop in Vienna is 100% on our side. One of our staff, a lawyer who was converted as a kid at Schloss Klaus, has been appointed the director for all youth activities in the two provinces of Salzburg and Tyrol, which are the two largest provinces in the country. And again, the youth leaders in the Lutheran churches now are those who've been born again at Schloss Klaus or at Taunhof and who love and serve the Savior. I was there August last year for a mini Bible school of 10 days, 160 young people, 30% from Catholics' homes, 70% Lutheran homes, all born again, five sessions a day, and just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Twice this summer, I was in France speaking first at the TEAM conference, Evangelical Alliance Mission, for all their missionaries in Europe, and then in the same location at a conference for all foreign workers in France. Story, no matter from where it came, was always the same. France is difficult, very difficult. And everything is small, very small. Jim Burrows, with his small team, does not have an easy time, though there were encouragements this summer and a few who put their trust in the Lord Jesus. Jim is thinking of moving into the area at Bordeaux and entrusting the present work and facility into the hands of a French pastor. The university at Bordeaux offers many opportunities for ministry among the students, and two of his children are in university. Had a letter yesterday from Ken, his associate, who anticipates moving to Bayonne to establish some operation there. Stateside, the house graciously donated to the fellowship by Johnny Merchant has been sold, for which we're so very thankful. Even though the proceeds were not as great as had at one time been hoped, we anticipate that this will enable us to provide the additional facilities that we need. And the camping program this summer was almost full to capacity. We are hopeful of adding other similar camps to cater at the same time for different age groups. Interest continues to grow in a very wonderful way. Enrollment for Bible school is increasing, and so also is the response to the radio ministry. We're very thankful to God that there was not more damage than what did occur as a result of the recent heavy floods. The concrete has been poured, no it hasn't, for the extension of the existing dormitory. Oh, a bigger one has. Not the one here, but in Ravencrest I switched horses. The concrete has been poured for the extension to the existing dormitory at Ravencrest. And the new look of the new construction is going to add much, not only to the number of beds, but also to the whole complex. We desperately need more room. It's sad to have a waiting list of students we're unable to accommodate. And that's the situation at the moment at Ravencrest. 40 additional acres have been added to the property so that we will be able to extend the ski camping program and summer camps. When the time comes, the accommodation there will be constructed in such a way that we'll be able also to use it for additional students during Bible school. Needless to say, the additional land has also increased our financial responsibilities, and we're trusting God to meet this extra need. In Australia, Nancy, who was an Australian on our staff in England, the accountancy department for many years in England, our loss was Australia's gain. Having served so faithfully at Cape and Wren, the office, for several years, the British government saw fit to send her home. She had taken the full time that her visa allowed to land just in time to fill a vacancy at Cape and Wren Lodge, Wongabri, in New South Wales. You'd love to see the new conference hall and the fine new sleeping accommodation, other refinements there. There was a great big cow barn, magnificently built, solid brick. And it was far too good for cows, and it was part of our property because we purchased it, and it's been marvelously refurbished. And you would never recognize now that it was a cow barn. There's a meeting hall for 200, 250. There's accommodation in small rooms, I think, for about 48, I think, something like that, and with showers and washing facilities, a little kitchen and a canteen service area and a book room, and we're thankful for that. And I was there in Australia, as I indicated earlier this year. They've done a great job. You'd love to see the new conference hall and so on. Built out of an old cow barn, you would never believe it. The result was that when I was there in January for the summer Bible school, more than 100 could be accommodated on the estate. Staff at Wongabri have been greatly used throughout Australia, and Alan Catchfull is having more and more excellent opportunities for ministry throughout the United States. Probably the most exciting news from New Zealand is that in January this year, we were able to purchase Day Spring 2. Replacing Day Spring 1, being a 55-foot of fine boat instead of just 38-foot of equally fine boat. The Day Spring 1, 35-foot long, 38-foot long, was built in the backyard at the Cape and Ray Centre in New Zealand by Ron Russell, who is the skipper. And we were able to trade that boat in. It was in magnificent condition. They'd worked on it fantastically. And we bought a very, very fine boat for 55 foot. 55 foot boat, which is much, much more boat. It isn't just more length, it's more width, everything. And it's assessed at about $90,000. We were able to purchase it for about $55,000. And it's been through a very good test. My third boy, Peter, has been on crew there since April. He went with me in December to Indonesia and Malaysia and Australia, and then taught in Bible school in New Zealand till April, and then he's been on crew since then. And the journey with seven on crew from New Zealand to the Fiji, no, to the Haitian Islands, was one of the wildest storms that Ron Russell, in 7 years sailing the South Pacific, ever endured. They had to heave to, and for three solid days the storm raged and drove them back 140 miles on their journey. And they were all sick, except Ron Russell. He was the only one who survived. All the rest wished they could die. But it was quite an experience. But the boat did magnificently. And Pete, who learned a bit of French at school, has been extremely useful to them in the Haitian Islands. They've just been, did I mention it the other day, to an island, and they were the third boat in 15 years. That's something. Ron Russell, incidentally, I may have mentioned this story to others of you before, perhaps last year. Ron Russell sailed single-handed from England 14,000 miles exactly to the other end of the world in a small sailing craft. He did so to prove that a man doesn't need God. Well, he proved that you can sail 14,000 miles single-handed in a small sailing craft and you don't need God to do that, except he has to provide the water and the wind. But he didn't prove anything else. He became a hopeless drunkard. He lived with a Fijian woman who was as hopeless a drunkard as he was. And then, miraculously, right out of the blue, through the testimony of a good friend of mine, a missionary there, who was there then, Jeffrey Harland, he was led to Christ. He went back and told this woman that he had got saved, and she chased him around the kitchen table with a carving knife. A few days later, he had to hide in a room, and she threw an axe through the door. Happy sort of relationship. To his profound relief, 3 weeks later, she was converted. Saved her soul and just about saved his life. He then married her. And they're the sweetest couple. And my boy Pete's been sailing with them since April. They're a fantastic, fantastic couple now. Really great. That's where it all began. So there's hope for any of you. Under the able direction of Ron Russell, who is the skipper, Dayspring operates under the banner of Dayspring Trust and sails the wide Pacific, taking Bibles and ministry to the many islands scattered across the ocean. My boy Peter's been crew since April and so on, January, to hold a mini. In January, we held a mini staff conference at Cape Mary Lodge in New Zealand with representatives from Fiji, Tonga, and New Guinea. And Tony Han has just concluded the further preaching and teaching itinerary in the States, and of course he was here. And he probably told you something about this anyway while he was among you. The secretary for the Bible Society for South Pacific is a very, very fine man, Maika Bavoro. And he's big, tall, trapping fella, a Polynesian from Fiji, and he's widely respected throughout the whole of the South Pacific. Quite fantastic. And he has indicated that he may well be terminating his service with the Bible Society in a couple of years' time and is looking for a wider ministry because they limited somewhat in his preaching ministry. And I have a very strong hunch that he would just be delighted to be part of the Torchbearer operation. We could have no better man for the South Pacific to operate there with Ron Russell because, of course, he's a native of that area. He speaks the languages and is a fantastically fine man. He's a real statesman. And we're happy to welcome his boy in January to Cape and Ray, and we're going to sponsor him for his Bible school for at least a year and then maybe give him some further education in the British Isles before he goes back to Fiji. When Bernhard Reitsch translated in Germany for a visiting evangelist from Indonesia, he did not know that he was laying the foundations for a new Torchbearer Center and Bible school in Southeast Asia. But that is just how it looks now. In a couple of weeks, I'll be following up my earlier visit this year. That, of course, now is in a couple of days. And God willing, while conducting a seminar for Indonesian fellow workers, finalize arrangements for our cooperation with an existing Indonesian incorporation for the establishment of a center in the mountains between Jakarta and Bandung. It's fantastic how it happened. Bernhard Rapes just translated for 1 hour this Indonesian evangelist in Germany, and he must have mentioned short-term Bible schools, and immediately this man says that's just exactly what we need in Indonesia. 135 million people, and about 10 million nominal Christians, a lot of young folk getting saved, but with little basic training. And so he began to correspond with me, and after some negotiation, I finally was able to visit them in January this year. I just got off the plane, couldn't see the man who wrote because he was off on meetings. He had sent a copy of his letter, he living in Bandung, to a missionary in Jakarta, Bill Heckman. As he met me off the plane, we got into the car to drive to his headquarters, and he said, I've got a challenge for you. We've already bought some land up in the mountains. We're waiting for you to start a Torchbearer Center. I'd never seen him in my life. I'd never been to Indonesia before, and I knew nobody except a couple of kids who were there as missionaries in a far distant part of the country. And Indonesia is now about 3,000 miles across, with innumerable islands and a vast population. Bill Heckman was studied at Columbia Bible College, and to his horror, just after the war, learned that he was to share a room with a German. And at that time, the Dutch went too enamored of the Germans after the occupation. And he discovered that he was sharing a room with Christian Busker, whom I led to Christ when he was a kid of about 15 in a school in Berlin. And they became very firm friends. And he told me then that his younger brother, Henk, was converted at Cape and Ray, was now Bible school. And so God, in this lovely way, had laid the foundations. I'll be meeting Bill on Saturday when I get back to Indonesia, just in a little over 24 hours' time. And we're excited about what God is going to do. And I was in a church just a little while back, and it's a very missionary-minded church, and the pastor has a warm, warm heart and a particular interest also in Indonesia. And he said, we'll give you $30,000 to start the center in Indonesia if God leads you in that direction. That's nice. You know, just 30,000. Well, it'll be a start. Isn't God good? I didn't even ask him for it. When God throws things at you, you just have a duck or it'll hit you. Now, we don't know. We don't jump to conclusions. The fact that even the circumstances seem right, even though there's some money available, doesn't mean you're going to do it. Jump to no conclusions. Never be in a hurry. Just let God slowly organize his own show. It's going to be more difficult than we thought, because just a few weeks ago, the Indonesian government have introduced some legislation that's going to make it extremely difficult for Christian missions, especially from outside Indonesia, to continue to operate. This is one of the things, and I value very deeply your prayers in the next few days, that we've got to sort out. The problems derive from people who wouldn't let God do it. Earnest, sincere Christians, but they wouldn't let God do it. The two organizations that insist on going from door to door, leaving Christian literature. And this long since has incensed the Muslims. And the other missionary evangelical agencies in Indonesia have pleaded with those two organizations, please don't do it. You're going to destroy the whole Christian outreach in Indonesia. But they insist on doing it. And they've destroyed the whole Christian outreach in Indonesia. The government has moved in, forbidden all house-to-house visitation, forbidden all distribution of Christian literature, has forbidden the propagation of any religion except within adherence of that religion, has told all societies that they've got to introduce within 6 months a program to replace their own missionaries with Indonesians. But please don't imagine that just being busy for God represents spiritual wisdom. From Indonesia, I'll proceed to Malaysia for another week of meetings, which will be organized by two earlier students at the school, Bible school in England. One of them, John Lean, our consulting engineer, is seriously thinking of devoting his whole time to Christian ministry, and I covered him for the fellowship. A letter was waiting for me here when I got here, and he's re-emphasized that desire. His name is John Lee. Following week, I'll be visiting a conference grounds established a national reserve near the Nilgiris in India, by another former student at Cape Henry who was there 12 years ago. His name is Thomas Samuel. And I know that he is very eager for a closer link with the fellowship, and we will trust God for his wisdom in whatever steps should be taken. He's got a fantastic spot that I'm eagerly looking forward. I'll be there in just about 2 weeks. I've been to that part of the country, Nilgiris, in the Hills Conventions years ago. And this is way down in the jungle, in a national reserve. And you wake up in the morning, you find, a wild elephant has put his foot in your porridge. And it's an interesting place. I just hope they'll keep the wild elephants away. In advance of my visit to India, Charlie Fordham, who's been appointed field representative for Canada, went to that country to represent the fellowship in giving assistance to a missionary organization called Advancing the Ministry of the Gospel. I'm hoping to hear from him tonight at the latest. He should be back from India. The world advancing, with which we're also associated in Indonesia. The world coordinator of this mission, Bill Heckman, Rome with Christian Baskers, I indicated Columbia Bible College. And there's just the possibility that God may be leading us to establish another center in British Columbia, which will then be the headquarters for Torchbearers West in that country. In this case, Charlie Fordham will be responsible for its direction. And I spent a lovely few days in Ontario recently and was able to visit Caverny Manor there, where things for the moment still remain quiet. So, continue to pray, please, for Christian Basker, who at this time is conducting an advanced course, or rather will be in January, for older students at Hallsbybrunn in Sweden. This is an addition to the normal Bible school, but for older and mature students. This may well be the forerunner of many similar courses in days to come.
That should just about be enough.
Did you want me to drink it or bath in it? I appreciate that, Brian, very much. We could almost hold a baptismal service. Are there any candidates? I see that hand. We continue to be very interested in the setting up of video extension courses, and I'm at this time involved in the National Institute of Biblical Studies, which is a full four-year seminary course which may be held locally within a church context. And also now with an organization called Video Dynamics, working out of Jackson, Mississippi. And I've just done a series of 7 videotapes for them, which will be shown now in different church situations, and we'll be doing some more in May next year. So thanks again. You're part of the team. And we owe so very, very much to you all for your faithful support, your loving interest, your prayers, your constant encouragement, and generous giving are the means that our wonderful Lord uses to make it all possible. Thanks, and thanks again. May he give you increasing joy as you share his life with us and allow him to communicate that life through you to the world around. Well, it wasn't as brief as one might have hoped, but at least it gives you some idea of what is happening apart from here at His Hill. Those of you who are here, remember, are just part of about 600 students worldwide who are at this very moment in Bible school, and hundreds of others, thousands of others now, who participated in the last 29 years since Bible schools began in England, from all over the world. And so remember them. And while you're traveling around the world, remember that wherever you find a torchbearer center, and the sun never sets on torchbearing, while we go to bed, other torchbearers will be getting up. And when they go to bed, we'll be getting up. If you're traveling around the world, wherever you're at a torchbearer center, you're home. And so, welcome home.